Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 153, part 2, the conclusion to Your Business or His. Today is Sunday, June 27th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we have no boundaries. It's located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota and you need food, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also join the online community at the top of the homepage at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find interactive links to scriptures within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now here's a lineup for the month of June. These are the podcasts. I Am Justified, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix, Lights in Dark Places, Your Business or His Business. Thank you for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us each week, Friday for part one, Sunday for part two, in the conclusion of Pastor Paul's weekly podcasts. Have a great month of June, and God bless you.
Well, what was the Father's business? I think it was three things. Example, establishment, and expiation. One part of his Father's business was to send into the world a very perfect example for our imitation. Someone for us to follow. Someone for us to imitate. Some guideline. Someone for us to look up to. Someone for us to follow. Well, we read that God sent many other previous saints. One man was noted for virtue, another was noted for love, another was voted for peacemaking, another one for power, another one for wisdom. Now he would combine all of these into one man and make a perfect example. It's like stringing all the loose pearls on one string, like a sculpture finds a hand from one master and feet from another and a head from another and an eye from another, puts them all together, and he glories in all these and makes a glorious, beautiful body out of all these. And he says, I will compound all these glories and put them all together. And then it should be a model man, so said God. There is Job, he hath the patience, and there is Moses, he has the meekness. And he even was baptized for our example, God being baptized. He heals the sick and he teaches love and concern. He rebukes hypocrisy to teach us boldness. He endures temptation to teach us hardness. He forgives his enemies to teach us the grace of meekness and of forbearance. He gives us life to teach us to surrender ourselves to God and to give ourselves for the good of others. Oh, don't give yourself up for yourself. Give yourself over for others. Jesus wept. God wept. Jesus prayed. Jesus fasted. And oh, how we need to imitate our perfect example like never before. Next, his father's business was the establishment of a new dispensation. He established what they call the gospel, the kingdom of God. And he himself said, I will be the king. Now he took on the responsibility of being the king in the kingdom of God, complete with kingdom principles. We are not of this world, the Bible said. Our conversation is different. We don't talk about the same things anymore. You don't talk about partying. You don't talk about this. You don't talk about that. Now comes the climax of his labor. And when he had came to the greatest toil of all, the great work of expiation, how thoroughly that he did it. There was proof that he was about his father's business. It was his father's business. It made him sweat drops of blood. It was his father's business that plowed his back up with many furrows. It was his father's business that put holes in his temples from the thorny crown. That was his father's business. It was his father's business that made him to be mocked and spit upon and called all manner of names. It was his father's business that nailed him to the cross. Hey, it was foreordained that this should be happening. It was his father's business that made him despised and shamed and hung naked upon the tree. That was his father's business. It was his father's business that made him yield himself to death, though he needed not to die if he didn't want to. He said, this is my father's business. His father's business made him preach in hell. His father's business took him to heaven. His father's business caused him to separate the sheep from the goats. That's his father's business. His father's business, thou hast done it. Are you hearing this? That was his father's business. It doesn't sound right to a lot of folks sometimes. When you get into doing the will of God and when you get into doing the Father's business. Oh, God, sometimes you don't want to do it. Oh, Lord, if there's any other way, if you can take this cup from me, take it. But not my will be done, yours, Lord. Oh, that's a hard decision to make sometimes. Sometimes you look kind of loony making it. But look how unfair you are. Don't you worry about being unfair. You just do the Father's business. Don't worry about the looks and don't worry about people being dismayed about what you're going to be doing. If you've been called to do work, then do it. God's got an eternal purpose for you. Don't be... Let me exhort you to go ahead and to imitate this example. Why is it the gospel message is so slow in spreading? Not enough dedicated people. Where are they? Where are all the dedicated people? Where have all the people gone? Long time they've been gone. Where are they? Are they watching some kind of a, what is it, the Texas show? What is that? Dallas? Are they watching that? Where are they? Are they about the Father's business? Do you think the Father wants you sitting in front of the boob tube wondering if somebody's going to get shot or something? Like a couple years ago, everybody stayed home. They wondered if this guy's going to get shot. I thought, how loving of people. They want this guy to get shot. Who shot, what was his name? Somebody. Who? T.R.? Huh? Whatever. Well, they missed because he's still on. Serves him right. Say amen, somebody. Oh, look at Paul and look at Peter. They were so devoted to their causes. Well, rock and roll fans, they're dedicated to their cause. They're so dedicated, man, they get up there, wham, 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 and then they get up there and they cut themselves. They're so dedicated. and they'll bleed. They have these little razors, you know, and they just zip, 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 cut their ankles and cut just enough to cut themselves so they'll bleed through their tight silk pants. Huh? Isn't that dedication? Dedicated to the devil. It's dedication, though, isn't it? X-rated living is growing. Why? People are dedicated to a cause. Oh, if we could be that dedicated. Right now, they're, and all over the cities, they're having keggers, and they charge. I was sitting in the cafe, and this girl said, "Are you coming to the party tonight?" She's talking to somebody over here. Another one comes in, she says, "Are you coming to the party tonight? We're going to party. Ooh, 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 we're going to party. And we're going to have a couple of kegs," and they were charging $5 a person to come in. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? You don't know who is going to come into your house for $5. And they come in and they look the house over. They give their $5 bill and they own that house. Where's my glass? Why is that? They're dedicated. And then we have people that are so dedicated to minding other people's businesses. That's a dedication. Don't you think that that's one of the most dedicated things you've ever seen? It, and especially in Christianity. People are dedicated to minding someone else's business. They're so dedicated, they run all over the place, and they've dedicated their time to minding someone else's business. Come in. Oh, we're two dedicated people, and we're dedicated to minding your business. Is there anything you should fill us in on your life? Is there anything you'd like to say before the court of law? Speak up! Oh. I've actually had people come to me like that. What's going on? And they'll knock. I see you people are very dedicated to minding someone else's business. Well, I've already had 14 people minding mine. Go over to somewhere else. Here's an address. Here you go. Here's one for you. Have fun. It's true, isn't it? Say amen, somebody. And in the end, you're going to see that people are dedicated to minding someone else's business. It's right in it. It's sad, though, ain't it, Corey? They're not, you know, minding the Father's business. They're minding someone else's business. Oh, and they're so dedicated to doing that. And they even stand there with a stone in their hand. Oh, you come in and you see them and say, boy, they're shaved funny. Well, they got rocks in their pockets. And they come walking in like this, and you can hear them clanking together. Clunk, 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 clunk. And the Bible says, if you were to be without sin, cast the first stone. All over, you got people invading people's homes and going all over, minding someone else's business. They'll call me on the phone, and they'll say, what am I going to do? This person's coming, they're butting their nose. I said, tell them to go mind their own business. Tell them to take the stones out of their pockets and throw them at themselves. A spiritual getting stoned. Oh, God, I'm saying it, and I'm glad. Needs to be told. Now, homosexuality is growing. Why? There's dedication there. Right? Abortion is growing. Why? They're dedicated to their cause. And here we are sitting with all this ammo. It's awesome, isn't it? Enough weaponry to destroy several plants just like this, and it's all stacked. That makes me want to mind the Father's business all the more. See, we solve our problems by killing them. These guys are a problem over there. Well, you made me do it. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Boom. kill the problem. That's the babies are problems. We kill them. Or break someone's spirit. That solves a problem. Don't if you can break somebody's spirit, you solve a problem. We wrap up our sin while it cries out of glad bags. Gee, I'm glad I solved that problem, and there goes another baby in the garbage. Friends, I believe that shortly the wrath of God is going to come. Now, I didn't say you were going to see the wrath of God, because you won't. All born-again people will not see the wrath of God. Well, what is born again? Well, you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and thou'lt saved. Anything outside of that, you're going to be stretching and striving and trying, and then you're going to be under the law, and you're going to have to try to keep the law by yourself, and then you'll just fall from grace. See, you just got to say, God have mercy, and then just go that way. You know what's wrong? People do not really believe the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people don't take it seriously. Friends, the reason the gospel doesn't spread is because this. It has not got enough root in people's hearts. They do not believe the power of the gospel unto salvation. And how few I'm finding that will really devote themselves wholly and boldly and totally and willfully and passionately and spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about spiritually putting on a spiritual show. I'm talking about suffering for Christ. Spiritually to the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe if you should attempt to do so, how many opponents do you suppose that you would have? If you give yourself totally, willfully, passionately, spiritually to the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how many enemies do you think you're going to create? You know where you're going to create a lot of enemies? Right in the church. You go on into some churches and be just a little bit earnest. They'll teach you like David's brother, like the brothers. Are you hearing this? He spoke of killing Goliath, didn't he? And he'd come down there with his peanut butter sandwiches. They said, "Stand aside, you no-whiskered little wimp. Go to 1,000 more studies before you draw your sword. You're just a little punk, don't you know? What do you know about killing giants? You haven't had enough studying. You're not spiritual enough. You don't know the Word of God. You just take your peanut butter and jam sandwiches and hit the road. Scram! Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more, no more, no more." But people, do you care about that? You listening on radio, do you care about that? What folks say? We always got something to say, don't we? Are we ever at a loss for words? But see, if you cannot bear a snuffing, if you cannot bear ridicule, if you cannot bear losing your reputation, God built up this reputation. Everybody thinks I'm great and wonderful, this person says. And it's in jeopardy. Someone might say something. Someone might tip my reputation over. Oh, no, there it goes. Ah! Sort of like the wicked witch from the east or west or something like that. No, no, you put the water of the word on me. You whip. I like to put the word on people sometimes. You know what's a good word for some people? Shut up. Isn't that a good word sometimes for people? And they'll come in and they want to just kind of get into conversation about somebody, and I'll say, "Well, now, hey, I got a word for you." And they say, "What is it?" I say, "Shut up. Want a cup of coffee? Come on, let's have a cup of coffee." "Well, wait, no, I said shut up. I just asked you if you want a cup of coffee. Don't put a donut in your mouth and just keep it going here, because we ain't going to talk about this person." Really? Does that sound kind of crude? Well, it is. That's why it sounds that way. I don't claim to be, you know, I don't claim to be have finesse in all this. I'm just telling you like it is. Sometimes you need to tell folks to shut up. You don't have to get into a whole lot of counsel. Now, you know you shouldn't be saying this, according to this scripture and so on like that. And they know the Bible. You don't have to give them a complete lesson, a Bible study on why they should shut their mouths. You just tell them, shut your mouth. Times are wasting, folks. I mean, I'm here to do the will of God. I ain't here to listen to a whole bunch of junk. Try it sometimes. It'll do you so much good. Especially when people come around and they come in pairs and they're minding someone else's business. Right? And they come in pairs that way. They'll come in pairs and they'll be minding someone else's business and they want to tell you somebody else's business. You just tell them, excuse me, a thought comes to me. Hold it. And they'll look at you like you're going to get some kind of a spiritual revelation, and then you open your eyes up and you say, here it is, shut up. Coffee? Donut maybe? And then if you really want to add insult to injury, put them to work. You know why I do that? Because you may be next on the hit list. It's true, ain't it? Kill that thing right there. Then you can do it in sort of a funny way, you know. Funny for you, not so funny for them, you know. But if you cannot bear slander, if you cannot bear suffering and trial and tribulation, go on back into the garden and pray some more. Pray all night, pray a little longer. Pray all day, get a little stronger. Huh? How many hearing this? Go back into the garden and pray. If you can't bear what's going to come on this planet, and it's coming on strong, the slander and the ridicule and the minding of other people's business and all of that kind of old junk has been going on in the house of God for years and years and years, and nobody's had enough guts to stop it. And if you don't want to go ahead and do the will of God, and you're afraid of doing the will of God, and God has called you to do something, and someone's over there saying, you, huh? You better get it on with the Lord. Say, Lord, I have purposed in my heart to obey you and do to the best of what I have within me to do it. Your grace is sufficient to help me to do this thing, and just go ahead on and do it. And you're going to suffer for it. Well, you're suffering now, aren't you? By not doing the will of God. I mean, don't you have to have vent for this? Aren't we suffering already when we're not doing the will of the Lord? God has called us to do something, we don't do it, you suffer. I mean, how much more suffering can it be when you know that you're a child of God, eternally, 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 you can never be lost, and then to have God not pay any attention to you? I mean, you'd rather be in hell. That's worse than hell, to be a child of God and have the Father sort of just sort of not pay any attention to you. Turn his back on you. You're still a child of God. But what a hell that is. To be a child of God and not be used simply because you're too busy minding somebody else's business. Whoa. Come against a good work and they will pat you on the back. Oh, you see, and I hear it all the time. Oh, somebody's doing a good work, and there's some good works going on in the city, and I heard about these real good works. And someone came to me and said, well, yeah, it's a good work, but we were over here and we were over there, and it's a good work, but... And well, it isn't as good as what you think it might be, Pastor Paul. I mean, well. And you know what I say? Let's all say it together, shall we? Shut up. Isn't that strange? Come against a good work and everybody will pat you on the back. Isn't that strange? Every man is helped to get up when he is already up and riding high. Isn't that strange? Every man is helped to get up when he's already up and riding high. Isn't that strange? Everybody's your friend when you're on top of it. Corey, you inherit $1 million. Tomorrow morning, your phone, you'd have to put in a whole new phone system. You become a high roller. See, they say, woo, boy, Corey, I heard Corey got $1 million. We just called up and see if it's true. Praise God, Brother Corey. Woo. But you lose everything. And you sit there by that phone. You can sit there until it's got cobwebs completely covering it, strangle the thing, and it won't, that phone ain't going to ring. Isn't that strange? You see, if you're down then, Corey, keep him down is the cry. Isn't that strange? But you see, if you're getting up, you will never get up till you have done it by yourself. Because nobody's going to help you get up. Did you know that? Is that right, preacher? It is right. And then men will give you help when you do not need it. Isn't that strange? When you don't need it, you get help. I'll get help. I'll get by with a little help from my friends and their song like that. And when you don't need it, hey, need help? They're expecting to say no. I never say no. They know, you know, they kind of got their hands back there like they're drawing for something. I say, I sure do. You do? I say, don't faint like that. I mean, actually get in the back pocket. Draw! That's it. Get it out there. Isn't that strange? When you don't need it, they're right there to give it to you. Isn't that strange? But I believe this. However, get up and say, I must be about the Father's business. And you know, see, you're laying there, see? And you're down. So you're laying there. And they're all watching you. Pointing. Down. Get up. Say, I must be about the Father's business. Watch him scatter. Get up with your clothes all torn, knife in your back, a hatchet in the back of your head. I must be, now picture that, a hatchet out of your head, a knife in your back, torn clothes and tennis shoes smoking, one smoking hair on your head. I must be about the Father's business. And even the best of your friends will advise. Now listen, don't do too much. Don't give too much. There is no need for such enthusiasm. Slow down. Be moderate. A person asked me that time. He said, well, Pastor Paul, can't you be a little more moderate? I says, what does that mean? Be moderately honest? Be moderately loving or moderately patient or moderately trustworthy or moderately obedient or moderately forgiving? And I said, oh, stink above all stink. Why be moderate? Why not go all the way and why not be of one mind and one accord, neither divided in your thinking? And I believe if the gospel is worth anything to you, it is worth everything to you. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean it is worth everything to you. And I believe we must be thoroughly filled with the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Imitate Christ Jesus. Imitate him in this, what I'm talking about tonight, and give it your all. Give it everything you got. Give it all to Jesus. I shall never forget the first time in my ministry. Oh, how I was wounded. The first time that slander came against me, came to my ears, I was crushed. Why? Because I thought, oh God, oh dear God, what if it causes me to stop preaching the gospel, oh Lord? And dear Lord Jesus said to me like this. Oh yes, they said the same thing about me. They called me the devil. They called me a cult leader. Don't you worry about it. That's what they said about me, Paul. Beware, Paul, when all men speak well of you. You'll receive no pats when you're down. Only when you're riding high. When you don't need them. Don't fall in love with the pats. Sometimes you fall in love with the pats. And they don't come, we so miss them. Okay. Let me close with this. Let's all be about our Father's business. You say, but I am in the wrong business. Well, then get out. You say, but my friends wouldn't understand. Neither do you. And listen, you'll never understand till you give yours all to the gospel, everything you have to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a fanatic. And let me give you one guarantee here in closing. If you are about the Father's business, you'll be happy. If you are about the Father's business, you will be, if it's preaching or if it's teaching or if it's cooking or if it's collecting food for the poor, if it's scrubbing floors, if it's singing, if it's playing an instrument, if it's making tapes, if it's passing out tracts, you'll be happy. Because you know why? You'll have a special call upon your lives. And if you have that special call upon your lives, you aren't going to be happy until you meet that call, until you say, yes, Lord. Until you leave the hog pens of disobedience and you come back like that prodigal son. And so I'm going to ask you a question here tonight. Whose business are you about? Yours or his? Whose business are you about? Your business or his business? Your business will be somebody else's business. Your business will be a selfish situation. Your business will be, how about me? Your business will be self-centered. Your business will be, what people are thinking or what this or whatever. No. Question is, whose business are you about? Yours or his? Is coming to the separation between the sheep and the goats right now. Yes, it is. We're entering a time right now when you're going to have to make a decision. Whose business am I about? And that's what you're going to be about, isn't it? And you're going to have to make decisions to go on in your walk. And don't worry about the people. You obey the Lord. God's called you to do something. Do it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And don't be tethered and don't be weighted down by the opinions of others. Because they always got some kind of an opinion. Isn't that right? Don't you be one of those busybodies that's running all over the place. Be about the Father's business. Is there anyone in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anybody?